Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to TWiT and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 254, recorded June 27th, 2010. Dig 4 was my idea. This Week in Tech is brought to you by iStock Photo, the original source for royalty-free stock images, media, and design elements to help you get creative with your website or blog. Check out their specials offer at iStockPhoto.com/TWITstock. And by Audible.com. If you haven't tried Audible yet, download a free audiobook without a credit card now through July 2nd. Go to audible.com/summer. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/twit. This is TWiT This Week in Tech, our 254th episode in the continuing saga, trying to understand what's going on in the world of tech. And I'm so glad one of the original Twitters is here. Oh, that doesn't sound right. One of the original people who tweeted. No, that doesn't sound. Kevin Rose, my old friend, is here. Hi, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. We've got some big announcements from Kevin today.
Semi-big.
One really big, one huge, and then one we don't know because you won't tell me.
That's right.
Also with us, Dr. Stone is in the house.
Dig 4 was my idea, even though you're wearing
a shirt. You like my shirt?
That's amazing.
Thanks to T-Shirts Plus for sending me that. It says Dig 4 was my idea, because it was, Kevin, but I'll explain that later.
Hopefully it's everything you dreamed of, Uncle Leo. Hopefully it's everything you dreamed of.
I'm thinking it is, but we'll see. We're gonna take a look at that's news story one. We're going to get a look at the brand new Dig 4, and Kevin's very kindly offered to do this for the first time.
Demoing here first?
Yep, in public.
I suggest people get logged in now while we're going.
Well, yeah, I was going to say.
So you can start with us.
So the little announcement is we're opening it up just for the first time just to the TWiT audience right now. So if you go to new.dig.com and then click on request an invite, once you do that, put in your Dig username and password and it'll let you right in. And you are in.
So request an invitation. Okay. That's it. You don't need to do anything special.
Nothing special.
And that lasts until 4:30
today.
Until
4:30, yeah.
4:30 Pacific. So it's only for people who are watching live right at this moment.
Yep.
So
tell a friend to come to the show.
Oh, man, this is so exciting. Let me take it off here while I enter my password. Wait a minute. Enter my email address. Oh, I see.
So click.
I don't need a password.
You should put request an invite and then.
Oh, log in now. Oh, good. There we go.
It might not let you in until you have to request an invite first.
Let me in.
Let you in. Sweet.
I think. Is this new? Is this the new one?
That's it. That's part of the onboarding now.
So tell me about the process. What is Dig 4 all about?
So essentially, hold on one second. Let me just log in. Get this done. And coming back into Dig, to give people a little bit of background, I started the company 5 years ago, but really kind of stepped out and let other people run the show for a while. And so
you were busy. You were doing other stuff.
I was doing angel investing stuff and just,
Did we know that you really weren't part of Dig?
I mean, I was there a couple days a week, but outside of that, I was busy just working on other projects, helping out other entrepreneurs. And, I sat down with Mark Andreessen a while ago. He's one of our board members and investors, and talked to him about just some of the frustrations I had with not being able to scale Dig, and we had problems for years on scaling Dig. Like, we couldn't roll out any new features. Finally, the new Dig, you'll see it's a lot faster because it's all based on Cassandra backend. We got to a point where we could actually develop new features again, so I was like, well, this is great. I can actually see some of these features that I've wanted for a long time.
So that's interesting. So you weren't satisfied with where Dig was. You just couldn't change it because the technology wasn't.
We haven't rolled out anything new in the last 2 years. Yeah. Two and a half years, something like that.
Since the Dig Labs stuff that you did, the Flash stuff,
since
that was cool.
Dig V3, yeah. Yeah. About 2 or 3 months after that is when things started falling over just from the traffic.
Wow.
So
was it a hockey stick of traffic? I mean, was there?
It's Digg still is, you know, 27-ish million people a month come
uniques.
To the site. Uniques a month.
Jeez.
And so it's to scale that kind of traffic, it requires a special type of engineer and back end. And
right.
We're a very write intensive app with all the Diggs, obviously.
Right.
So finally we're on a new back end. And so when I came in back into the company here a couple months ago, you know, my whole thing was let's pare this down to just, you know, 3 to 5 awesome features that we've been wanting to do for a long time and get the release out there. Just do something really simple. And so what you're going to see is basically, you know, us fixing a lot of the problems. So it's super fast. When you Digg something, your friends and followers actually see it. Like that was a big thing for a long time. People would come in, they Digg stories, but no one would actually see those Diggs.
Right.
So the new default view is what's called My News. And My News is essentially a way for you to see what you're seeing right here is all stories that have been touched by my friends. So this first story here has been dug by my friend Daniel Burka. That's why it says D. Burka right there. The story underneath here has 2 friends that have dug it. So you'll see little number 2 there. And as my friends Digg stuff, it just appears right here in this feed for them. And if they Digg it, it goes out to their followers. So it's a really efficient way of spreading links, link sharing essentially, on the Digg platform. And then if you look in the upper right-hand corner here, you'll see this is the hottest news as determined by my friends. So
that is the biggest, and I think that's why I'm wearing this T-shirt, the most important change you've made. Because the thing to me about Digg that always made it a little less useful is it wasn't people I cared about. It was everybody. It was the universe. That's what determined whether a story was
right,
dug.
Right, exactly.
And what I really would like to do is use a Twitter-style situation where I get to choose who I care about and let them curate my news for me. That's what's so powerful about Twitter.
Right, exactly. So
this is the model? Is that what you're doing now?
Absolutely. So you're picking. So I'll show you, like, when you log in for the first time, this is what you're going to see, something just like this, where you'll see a bunch of suggested users to you. You're on here. There's Leo Laporte right there. You can follow Leo.
I'm following you. I'm following Engadget, of course, Huffington Post. You know what? These are good suggested users. Time, Trent Reznor. These are some of your friends, too, which is cool.
Some friends on there.
Yeah, Life Hacker, of course. The Oatmeal?
The Oatmeal is a hilarious comic. You got to check it out.
I'll follow it.
It's pretty awesome.
Cracked, I love. Mashable, I love.
And then you can go on the left-hand side here. You can see here's all the different categories. So if you just want to follow business sources, you can click on business over here.
Oh, okay. So you have effectively like Twitter lists.
Yeah,
too.
So it'll allow you to filter them and find the sources that you want to follow. But the cool thing is, as a publisher, so like, for example, with your profile, Leo, I think what we did, let me go to, we've changed, we now have vanity URLs too. So your username is digg.com/your name.
Or in this case. Wait a minute. Aaron. An error occurred. It's 79.7% likely this is Aaron's fault.
Is that Aaron's fault? Aaron messed up.
That's when I went to my site.
You know what?
Did we break it?
No, it's up. I'm on your
profile. Okay, there it is.
Now.
Okay.
So check out your profile.
Look, these are all their shows.
Yeah, so on the right-hand side, what we're doing now is that publishers for the longest time have said, like, we have all this great content, but we have to go and manually submit all of these stories, right? So you can link up your RSS feeds and claim your feeds that you own. And so we've linked up here your Google Buzz feed and your twit.tv feed. And so every time a podcast comes out, it automatically submits it to Digg with a single Digg.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Yeah.
So no more submission, and it'll go out to all of your followers instantly. And then if they Digg it, it goes out to their friends and so on. So just a lot of stuff that we should have done a couple of years ago.
Can you add comments like you could before?
Yeah.
When I Digg something, it's the same process of Digging something, yes?
Right. Same process. It's a lot faster. I mean, you'll notice when you Digg something, it just instantly shows up.
This is so slick.
So,
will all the Digg bookmarks and all the other stuff, the widgets, all still work the same?
Yes, okay. They're going to once we port over the API, which is what we're still. That's why we haven't sunsetted V3 yet. Is we're still working on.
We should tell everybody you're getting special access right
this
now.
This is early. This is alpha. If there's bugs, there's going to be bugs.
Now, after an hour and a half, are they not going to be able to get in here anymore, or is this...
Just for the hour and a half, just because we're trying to keep it...
From going crazy.
Yeah, we still need to test out some stuff, but we'll open this up probably about, I'd say, another month or so.
So long on stuff like this? Where's the effort?
Well, I mean, the back end is all Cassandra, which is one of those NoSQL solutions, you know, and we've got a few of the core contributors.
So it's a database, but it's not MySQL.
Right.
And it's flat. Is it flat file?
No, it's not flat. It's this weird. You guys
still do
know.
Queries and all this stuff?
Yeah, it's just a different way of storing data, and we have it now in multi data centers. Like we have an East Coast and West Coast that we're serving out of, and so there's there's a lot of really weird little bugs that we're just trying to work out.
Right.
So it's a complete refactoring, and we have to port all of our old data over. So that's a lot of work as well.
So we should say when you say you guys, we have some other people in the studio. I dragged over here from Foo Camp. Let me see if I can figure out where their camera is. There you go. Tim Shea is here. He's from nextnewnetworks.com, which is a great kind of twit-like network, really, of aggregated. How many shows do you have?
I think there's like 81 channels now or something.
Wow. Huge. Nextnewnetworks.com. And sitting to his left is the evil genius from developer of Boing Boing, Dean Putney. Hey, Hi. Dean. Yeah. Good to see you. He's a junior at CMU.
I just finished my junior year.
Rising senior.
Yeah.
And also was at, where else were you at?
Institute for the Future,
yeah.
Make Magazine.
Cool. Are you a maker or you're a web guy?
I'm a web guy.
Yeah.
Do there.
So do you, when Kevin says Cassandra and what a pain, you just ring a bell? Is this
Yeah, I'm familiar with that stuff.
Yeah.
I did a project at Carnegie Mellon using Mongo. So
sweet.
Similar stuff.
So are these servers or are they they're databases?
Yeah, this is the database system.
Oh, we did a thing on Mongo and Floss Weekly. That's another NoSQL, NoSQL. Yeah.
There's a few competing projects
right
now.
Yeah. Well, there was even a session at Foo on NoSQL.
Yeah. It's a hot topic now, for sure.
Why? What's wrong with MySQL? Owen?
It's not really Owen, there are things
wrong
up. With it so much.
Yeah.
I'm in the chat room. I'm good. I'm chilling with the people in the
I thought
streets.
You were sleeping, dude.
I'm with the people in the
streets. I think he likes that chair a little too much.
You guys talk all nerdy for 5 minutes, and I'll come back in on some regular stuff. I'm trying to dig stuff right now.
Owen, are you on Dig? Are you on Dig.com? Dig 4?
Yes.
You digging it?
Dig me. Follow.
You are O-H-D-O-C-T-A-H.
That's right, Uncle okay. Leo. I'm alive. Don't worry.
So why do they hate MySQL so much?
I think a lot of it has to do with relationships in the database and how you connect different types of data to each other. So, I mean, in example here, digs and users. So I imagine that it makes it really easy for you to get all the digs for a particular user in the NoSQL database.
It's a lot of joins with MySQL, and that's really heavy on the database.
So
yeah.
In the NoSQL system, you can just collect. It will. Does Cassandra use embedded documents or?
I do not know.
Okay. Well, I imagine it does.
There are much
I'm
people
not really familiar with
people
it.
Smarter than
That's
me working on these
Aaron
problems.
Knows that
yeah,
one.
Aaron knows that one. Aaron actually does know that one. Aaron and Chris.
But yeah, in Mongo, when you get a user, all of the digs would come with it, basically.
Yeah.
So
it'd
be very easy to access that.
Right. This was kind of the problem that Twitter had when it was trying to scale.
Actually, Twitter engineers are working very closely with Dig engineers on this because they also have a cluster of Cassandra servers that they're working on as well.
And I thought this was really cool that there's this collaborative thing going on. You said this. The Twitter guys will come over to you, engineers
Facebook
come over
guys
to our guys
well.
And Facebook guys, and everybody's talking about, well, how do you solve this? How do you do that? How do you scale?
And it's all open source, too. It's an Apache
awesome.
Project.
That's so awesome. It's interesting that there's this collaboration going on among erstwhile competitors in Silicon Valley. Everybody's helping each other out.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really amazing. So let's see more of Dig 4. Kevin Rose showing us for the first time ever. If you just joined us and you want to take a look, just from now till the end of the show,
4:30.
beta.dig.com is that
new
yeah. I'm sorry new.dig.com
and then click on request an invite, put in your Dig username and password and we'll let you right in.
All right.
So basically we're also doing things like if you leave a comment your friends instantly see it, so there's no more having to go into a story. So
this could be Twitter, right?
It's basically the thing about Twitter. The funny thing is that people I've been asked by the press a couple times, like, how does this compare to Twitter, how does it compare to Facebook? And the way that I look at it is that, you know, on Facebook, when you like something, when you click the like button,
mm-hmm.
like it goes into that algorithm that they have and they look at all your different touch points with all the different users that you know. And then they mm-hmm. determine, like, does it have enough power to put it at the top of your newsfeed, right?
Right.
So there's no guarantee that your friends are actually going to see it.
Right.
Twitter, obviously, opposite of that, completely open, extremely easy to follow tastemakers. You get a little bit of everything, including the stuff that you don't want. So, like, you can follow Tony Hawk, but you're also going to get the fact that, you know, Tony Hawk tweets about dropping his kids off at the park when all you really want are
his links.
I want
his damn links. And you're absolutely right. In fact, it's turning out that's what's valuable about Twitter, at least for a certain... I guess you're right. Sometimes I want to know what he's doing.
Right. Exactly.
But mostly what I really want is the links. So this is cool because you can map it to your Twitter graph.
You can. And so this basically just allows you to be a tastemaker of news. Dig's always been about news, and so we're always about the links. We just want to make it as efficient as possible for you to dig and syndicate and spread content to the people you care about. So you can go in, you can follow your friends, you can follow the tastemakers, you can follow the sources that you like, and then all of that, you know, will come directly into your My News.
There's got Nate. This
and everybody
good.
Wants to compare everything to Twitter. I mean, really.
I know, that's not fair,
I ask,
is it?
How is this better than Reddit right now or something like that?
Right.
A service that's trying to go after your throat. Like, that's who I care about.
Right.
What the difference is.
Because that's the most direct
competitor. The Twitter and the Facebook is like a smokescreen of a question because it's really, it's not the same thing.
This is very different than Reddit, don't you think, Doctor?
Definitely. Especially right now, the way this is. I really like the way this is set up right now.
I think this is going to be so much more useful.
The biggest thing for me is the RSS feed out, too, because I'm one of the guys, you know, I do my own show, so I'm mainly to be the first submitting person all the time. So I always feel like it's cheating, but you got to do it because it gets the ball rolling and it's just habit. But now I don't have to worry about that anymore, so that makes me happy.
Top news from people I follow. New iPhone arrives. This drummer's at the wrong gig. The iPhone.
Oh, that's the funniest video ever.
See, this
have
is
you seen that?
Right now. See, this is going to be awesome. I'm so excited.
So now if you dig that story, it instantly goes out to all of your followers and they'll get it at the top of their My News.
Yeah.
That's really
so stuff can go viral so fast.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
And you got to watch that drummer video. Okay, it is epic. The guy looks like, have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
This drummer is at the wrong gig.
He's so into it, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you to where me and the fellas perform.
You got to fast forward to, like, I'd say a third of the way in. So this is at like some county fair, right? And these guys are just like
a little something feature our own
cover band.
He's the only one.
Yeah, all of a sudden they realize how awesome he is, and then they just start like zooming in on him once he starts going crazy.
He's like too good.
Yeah, he's just way too good.
I like his
showman too.
Yeah,
his arm work.
Hold on. I want to fast forward a tiny bit. He's just kind of going chill right now. Oh, here he goes.
Right. Oh, man. Oh, man.
It's a little choppy. You got to watch
it. It's choppy on mine because you've got the good computer.
He's like,
he's going Chris Farley.
Look at that. Much more interesting than the band.
The camera guy's like, look at this. And he keeps rolling the sticks like down his sleeves and catching them and twirling them and everything.
Did you see the next song after this they play?
No.
The lead singer comes behind and starts like grabbing the sticks with him and drumming with him. So they totally know he's like a star.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They jump in with him. It is awesome.
It has like 4 million views, that video.
It does. It has 4.7 million views. And now I'm going to get, you know, every time I do this, I get a... Tim, you can just slide that lens just a little bit to the left. I don't know if Kevin moved or the camera moved.
Zip. Nice.
This is what a professional operation we have here. The guests become the camera operators.
I'm on sandwich duty in 25 minutes.
What? Oh, yeah, you got to get sandwiches for the gang.
I'm on sandwich duty.
So this is cool. So I would never have seen that video, but that's not so different from other sources. The key is that you're going to give me stuff that's super relevant now. Because I'm following people that I care about and not people I don't care about.
That was a problem for us. I think that when you look at the Dig front page, you get people like my mom that would come to the site and say, like, this site isn't for me.
Right.
Because it was, you know, a combination of political news, cats jumping off of diving boards, like all this random stuff. And in this case, you know, she goes in, she follows Oprah, she follows a few of the other accounts that she really cares about, and it's custom news for her.
This is the future of, in my opinion, this is the future of all of this stuff is curation by your friends.
And I think that what we're working on next and some of the bigger stuff, I think this is a lot of the low hanging fruit stuff that we want to do for a long time. The bigger stuff though is how we can figure out user reputation. And so that when you dig stuff, you know, you're building a reputation for yourself around different topics.
Right.
So kind of a Quora style, you know, when you go in and you try to build a reputation around different subjects, we want to find the same type of users. Who are the tastemakers in, you know, Audi cars or tea or different topics, and how can we build a reputation around that? So that's going to be, you know, releases later, but that's kind of the bigger picture stuff that we're working on after we get this launch out.
So when people like you dig something, like 23 people can go write a blog post about it because you found it credible.
Well, and how many people dig after you? So if you dig something and it blows up, then you're you've just earned a little bit of credit as a tastemaker under that particular topic, you know, because you were really one of the first influencers to find that piece of content.
Exactly.
I always try to do that. And I'm never the first. Never. I'm a follower, not a leader.
It's good to piggyback, Uncle Leo.
I do.
Yeah, I'm just hoping you push all my content, then you make me look better.
That's right. That's the neat thing is it's okay, right?
Yeah.
You don't mind if I retweet you or I
especially when it's your friend because I'm going to follow you and things that you find
credible. We have a social contract.
Yep. So, yeah.
Kevin Rose is here. Owen Stone is here also joining us. Dean Putney from Carnegie Mellon University. He's a developer at Boing Boing, and I dragged him here from Foo Camp. Actually, Tim Shea did. He's with the Next New Networks. We're going to take a little break, come back with more. Kevin Rose has two more big announcements.
Oh, boy.
One you're not anxious to do, I know, and one that you're excited about, but it's a rumor that's kind of a mind-boggling rumor. But
you haven't heard it yet. You don't know what I'm talking about, or do you?
I kind of know what you're talking about. We'll see. I might. Yeah. I might know what you're talking about.
All right.
Does it have to do with the Google?
Maybe.
Maybe. You know, there were like all these Google people.
Did they say anything? Did you ask them?
Didn't say a bloody thing.
Did you ask
them? Didn't even intimate. Well, I didn't because I didn't know about it until I got here. So I didn't. Did you? Did either of you guys know about this new Google thing? No? No? They're looking a blank at me.
Yeah, we're completely oblivious.
Oh, good. This is good. Yeah, see, this is one problem of being a food camp. You're completely out of touch.
You kind of always feel like there's something else going on in the next room that's even better than what
Right. That's the problem with foo. Like you're sitting there like, is this the best talk that I should be in right now?
Oh, it's hard. That's tough.
Hard to decide. Feel stupid all the time.
Like, yeah, there's just the smartest people in the world are there, and you're I wanted to talk to Tim. Every time I went close to Tim, he'd turn away and talk to somebody else because I think he knew that I was coming. I was going like this. It was very intense because I want to talk him into letting us broadcast it, and I know that's antithetical to what Foo Camp is, but they should.
We should start Leo Camp.
And just broadcast it.
Why not?
Just broadcast. Because I think it's cool to get these great minds together. It's uncool to hide the output.
Right. Don't do it at the same time. Obviously, don't compete, but we could do a really fun...
Oh, I wouldn't compete with...
I think camping's a great idea, though. Camping's awesome.
I did a tent. Even though I'm half an hour away, I did a tent.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, it's really cool. A couple of problems. First of all, I have a four-man tent. So everybody's in one-man tents except me. I have like a skyscraper. I have a porch.
Of course, Leo has to have a condo.
That's the party tent. Right there.
A massive freaking tent. It was very embarrassing. And then, second of all, it's next to Scoble, who, by the way, is in a one-man Google tent.
And he's going to be talking all night long.
Oh, he didn't go to bed at like 4 or 5.
And then he talks in his sleep.
And he snores and he talks. And it's like, oh, God.
You need to insulate a tent.
So what I did is I just got up at 7:30. I made a lot of noise taking my tent down.
Did you take a shower there?
Yeah, that was a little strange. It's kind of communal, right? I didn't take a shower yesterday, and I really had to take one today. Fortunately, I have this nice white dig was my idea shirt. Hey, very quickly, I'd love to talk a little bit about our friends at Squarespace. I know you know them very well, Kevin Rose, because that's your blog. And do you know Anthony and Dane?
I do, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I figured you would.
Anthony is a brilliant guy. He's so smart. It's insane. Yeah. Both smart guys.
I think what they're doing is great. Squarespace is the place to where exceptional websites begin. We're starting to put some of our stuff on there. We've got the Inside Twit blog there, and I'm going to move the Tech Guy blog over to Squarespace because it's just so easy to set up a great-looking site with a couple of clicks of the mouse, but then you get complete customization control to the point where you can drag and drop widths of everything. I mean, it's just incredible. You've got great stats. The iPhone app is killer. It's just got all the features you're looking for. It is Hosting Plus, the software. And by the way, it's easy to import your WordPress, your Blogger, your Movable Type, or your TypePad blog right in. And they're big believers in round tripping. So you're never stuck. You can export it right out, too, if you decide you want to go somewhere else. You're never stuck. Built-in search engine optimization. Permission access handling means you can have multiple editors. And it's in the cloud, and you know they're using a VPS, a virtual server technology that allows them to add. It's kind of you know the state of the art allows them to add bandwidth as needed, so your site does not ever go down. So if you get Doug on the new Dig 4,
I can attest to that. I've had my site on.
You get Doug all the time.
I've had a couple homepage stories, and they've been able to handle them, no problem.
Yeah, I want you to take a look at it. Squarespace.com/twit. If you go there right now, you could try it free for 15 days. And if you'd like 10% off for the life of your new site, all you have to do is use the word twit at checkout. TWIT. Squarespace.com/twit. Twit. So, Kevin, I'm going to give you some time and space to compose yourself.
Yes.
And bring us the news. What's the news, Kevin Rose?
So I wasn't going to talk about this, actually. And then I realized it's being picked up on a bunch of different blogs and sites out there.
Yeah.
So it's like it's too late to keep it because I got a request to take down the tweet that I tweeted about it. And I took down the tweet and now...
So you tweeted it?
I tweeted it last night. I had a couple glasses
of wine. So first of all, let's say this. You had a great party last night, which I couldn't come to.
Friday night.
Revision 3's fifth year anniversary.
5 years. Crazy.
Isn't that great?
It's nuts.
Yeah. Congratulations on that.
I'm bummed you couldn't make it.
There was comedy. There was magic.
Schwood was there, I know.
There was drama.
Yeah. A great band. My daughter's girlfriend's, my boyfriend's band or something.
They did a killer Michael Jackson cover, like their third set, and it was awesome.
Who, the Dizzy Balloons?
Yeah.
Did you like them?
Yeah. They were like, because it was the anniversary of Michael Jackson's death, and he did a Michael Jackson song, and they covered it, and they were an awesome band.
I thought they were really good. I asked her if they're signed. She said, well, they're on iTunes.
That's what signed is
her
now.
Generation, no idea what that means. Yeah, they're on iTunes. What do you want? They have a record, yeah.
Hey, they're making money.
They're signed. I don't know what that means.
Buy their money. Yeah. Buy their album.
So it went well. You had a special dignation with Alex, and you did a lot of great things, and then you got drunk and tweeted.
No, that was actually last night that I had wine and tweeted.
Last night. Because
you
were sad.
The day after that. Yeah, but so essentially what happened is... you know, I got leaked a rumor from a pretty credible source, I believe.
You're going to talk about the other thing.
Oh, do you want to talk about the other thing?
Yeah.
Which one do you want to start? You want to start the Google one?
Do the Google
thing. Might as well do the Google one. Okay, so essentially...
You had to take that tweet down?
Yeah, I had to take the tweet down.
Who called you?
Let's just say...
Eric Schmidt says, hello, Eric. Kevin. You have been tweeting again.
We follow your Twitter account. So, yeah, basically the rumor was that Google is launching a Facebook competitor soon.
Yes. I'm so happy.
And then it's going to be called...
Not Orkut.
It's going to be called Google Me.
Google Me.
And
I've
heard
it's
pretty awesome.
Really?
Is what the rumor is. And this is a very credible source. So, we'll see. Facebook competitor.
Dean's going, sounds surprised. Not, you're surprised.
Well, it sounds interesting.
Sounds great.
Especially after the Buzz thing with... trying to take over Twitter. There.
Well, and there's an opportunity here because I think I'm not the only one who's a little bit skittish and fed up about Facebook, but I do trust Google.
Well, Google had its own little privacy problem too with their Buzz, so I mean, come on.
Yeah, the problem I have with Google though is the usability thing. Like their products, outside of Gmail, I can't point to really one product where I'm just like, wow, this is a killer user experience.
I thought I'd go to Orkut, right? Because that was their Facebook.
Right.
It's not usable. It's terrible.
It has no feeling behind it whatsoever. Everything is like...
It's like Google.
...made for a machine.
I am on Orkut, and so are my friends.
I'm soft and cuddly.
Please,
I need something squishy.
Tell me, how are you? What are you up to today? You can make me different colors. And however, here's why Google does not scare me, Owen. Their business model is in alignment with my interests as opposed to Facebook. So Facebook's business, in my opinion, Facebook's business model is all about the more they can reveal about me, the better, right? Google's business model is the more you use the web, the more we make. So in my opinion, Google's model is speed up the web, make the web more usable, make the web better, make it friendlier, give us great tools, give us YouTube, all this stuff, because the more we use it, the more they make, right?
I respect that answer.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Whereas Facebook, that's not Facebook's deal is make everything Facebook. The like button is about drawing you into Facebook. It's not about promoting the web. It's about drawing you into Facebook.
So in 10 years, you're going to be the first person lined up to get Google socks and Google deodorant because they're going to take over
the world. Well, if they take over the world, then we'll talk.
Okay.
I'm not saying I love them forever.
Okay.
I'm not marrying them.
They're just slowly infiltrating every orifice of your life.
Well, I'd like to see some competition, but I think that one of the reasons you can't leave Facebook right now, one of the reasons it was painful for me to leave Facebook is because I'm disconnecting and there's nowhere else I can send people.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what happened. Well, you had MySpace and then Facebook came and you could leave MySpace.
You could leave MySpace.
Right. So there's nowhere for us to leave to. So you have a very valid point there. But so, again, it has to look good. It has to feel good for me to use it.
Yeah,
for
same
the regular
here.
Person to use it, I don't care that Google did it. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're in here. I'm not a nerd. You guys are smarter than me. But, you know, for you guys, maybe you'll try it. But for the masses, Google has to finally break down and say, I need a supermodel. I need somebody that looks good and feels good, and I want to take home to my mom and impress everybody.
Can they do that, Kevin?
It's hard for people to make the jump at this point because, I mean, the news feed is – very addicting. I mean, you go there every day to see what your friends are up to. All your friends are already there. Your family's there. I mean, I have aunts and uncles and brothers
part.
And sisters.
The network effect.
How am I going to get my aunt to change to Google me? You know, it's like she's not going to. You know, so
you give yourself a little bit more power than that, Mister. I tweet stuff. No, and the question. Up the world.
No, here's the deal. Do I want to call my aunt up and teach her how to make the change? Right. And the answer is no.
Right.
Especially like, nobody wants to take that time.
Especially if Google doesn't make it appealing.
Right.
Because then it's even harder. It's an even more hard
job
for you.
So I'm not going to use it unless it's.
What does Google have to do to make Google me? Compete with Facebook. It doesn't have to be. I'm not saying beat Facebook. I'm saying be competitive.
In my mind, it's going to have to be like a Bing-like experience in that it has to be beautiful. It has to have, you know, some features and functionality that are above and beyond what Facebook can do. It can't just be a clone. You know, I think that so many clones fail just because they're copying feature for feature. You know, there's been thousands of dig clones over the years, and you know, the ones that scare me the most are the ones that aren't copying us, but actually innovating in different ways, right? And
Reddit doesn't scare you as much as somebody who's doing something different.
Right, exactly. Like a different take on what you're doing. So, you know, I'm curious to see what it is, but it's sad they lost their, who was it, Doug Bowman, that was their main creative director for a long time.
He went to Facebook.
He went to Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry, Twitter.
Yeah, and so he is brilliant. That guy was one of the best designers, and he just got fed up because he said they wanted to test 54 shades of blue with an algorithm.
A very famous blog post about why design sucks at Google.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I just don't have the faith. I mean,
Google Wave, what? Amazing.
Yeah.
Google Buzz, what? Double amazing.
I like Buzz. You don't like Buzz? I like Buzz. I'm a buzzer.
You are like the only one. You were there like Scoble and six of his followers. But I mean, there's only a few of you. That's what I'm talking about. You need something for regular people. And Google just doesn't get that. They have the smartest people. If you go to a Google office, you'll be amazed at the creativity and the beautifiosity of everything that they do and the colors and the toys.
Beautifiosity.
But if you go look at their products, it's like, look, dude, like a 3-year-old coder could have made something that looked better than this. And they just don't.
You have a 3-year-old, too. You should get her to do designs.
Google, hire me and my daughter, and we'll make everything beautifiosity and hire me. I'll do that. I'll sit in this chair and make stuff look good like I do for myself.
Well, I could say right now, I mean, I don't. I really did disconnect myself from my family and not my close friends. My close friends, of course, are my friends. I talk to them. I have a relationship with them. It's the second tier friends. It's like my first girlfriend in high school. There's no way she can poke me anymore, right?
Right.
Which is not so bad. But, Kathy, I love you, but stop poking me. But it's those second tier friends that you wouldn't have been in touch with without Facebook. And Facebook gives you a way to loosely engage with them. It's not, you don't have to email them or call them. You just kind of know what they're doing. You see their pictures and stuff.
See
and
the random
good.
Birthdays, things like that.
And it's, so you feel like you're connected. And that was the only pain of withdrawing from Facebook for me. It wasn't a business issue because we have a lot of presence on the web. We don't need Facebook for that.
Yeah. Did your family? Do you still have a fan page though? Do you have a Twitter?
No,
fan
I killed
page?
Them all.
Really?
Because it was tied to my account. So if I kill my account, it's all gone. It's all gone. That's okay. I don't think that for my business. I don't think our audience. It's like being on AOL. I don't think they want us. I don't think they care.
The only thing I mean, did you consider just stop using them? Like, leave them be?
I did.
But don't use them? Because that way, in case they ever correct their ways down the road.
No, I had this conversation, and apologize to those who've heard this before, but I had this conversation with myself. Can I just stay here? I know how to use Facebook. Can I just stay here? I know how to be private on Facebook. They're not invading my ability. You know, I know what I'm doing. But by being there, it's coercing other people, including family and friends, to be part of Facebook. I'm part of the problem if I'm on it.
Are your kids still on?
Yeah.
They're still on it.
That was when it really hit me. It's like I tried to explain to them why it's dangerous. I said, don't put anything on Facebook that you wouldn't put, that you don't want family, friends, future employers to see, teachers.
Future employers is a big one.
Yeah. Well, and they didn't get that. They said, no, it's private. And I said,
And that's the thing about the internet. Once you step foot on the internet, privacy is not the problem or the issue. It's about control. Because you should... anything you put on there, you know that somebody has access to. We talked about this earlier. Using better
passwords.
It's
all about control.
Because someone can get a hold of your information at any moment. As soon as you get on the internet, you're putting yourself out there to be exposed. So watch what you do. Your mother told you that when you were 2 years old.
Right.
Wear clean underwear in case you get hit by a bus. It's
pretty straightforward, isn't it?
But
kids don't get
it. And they don't. They get a cell phone and they're taking pictures of themselves at parties, drunk, and then leave it up there. And then somebody searches it on Google Me 20 years later and it still pops
up. Dean, you're still in college, Dean.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's in Facebook? CMU. I mean, these are a bunch of geeks.
Yep.
Still on Facebook?
Well, yeah, unfortunately.
Is there any backlash at all?
Well, there are a lot of people who are unhappy about things.
But they don't leave? You know why? Because Facebook's how you score, isn't it? It's how you meet girls. I think really seriously.
It is. Really, like,
that's the real point of Facebook for college-age kids anyway.
There have been so many situations where all you need is my name anymore.
Right.
You don't. I mean, it's literally my address book on,
right,
on the internet. And that's fantastic. You meet somebody at a party, you catch half a name.
Say, I'm on Facebook.
Yeah, or they, you know, even like, you know, you see a cute girl and, you know, you don't
stalk
really know
her later.
Yeah, but you know her friends.
By the
or
way, this is exactly right, why totally. Mark Zuckerberg designed Facebook. You know that. You're friends with Mark. That's exactly what the point was.
Well, it started
how
off
to
in
meet
colleges.
Girls.
Yeah.
How to meet girls.
It was a big college thing.
How to follow, or in how girls can meet guys. I mean, what's wrong? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. If Google did a credible alternative, you wouldn't go there because they wouldn't all be there. It's got to be where everybody is, right?
There's a tipping point that has to happen, and that's going to be pretty difficult.
Yep.
And if they make something that looks good, people will try it. And that's the biggest thing. Like Google Buzz, I couldn't get away from it the first week. After a week, it just died out. So,
yeah. Dan Shapiro is here. He said, here's his claim to fame. I beat him at Werewolf. Let's squeeze Dan in somewhere. Owen, can you share that chair?
I can share that chair.
Share my chair. Share the chair, baby. Hey, Dan, have a seat. Do you know Kevin Rose, Dan?
Hey, how's it going?
Kevin Rose, Dan, the serial entrepreneur, also a fooer. We're going to make Owen leave. We're going to continue on. Actually, while we're doing that, go ahead and get in there. Kevin has one more announcement to make.
Cool.
One more announcement from Kevin, and we're going to do that in a second. But first, Owen's not gone. He's just. If you have anything to say, come stand behind me and say it. Just come on, literally, just come on over. Just listen and come in here, and he'll be in the chat room too. I want to mention iStock Photo. A great place. If you're a blogger, you do content of any kind and you need images, look at a blog post with text is not as good as a blog post with a picture. It's just simple. But sometimes you don't have that right picture or don't steal the picture. You can go to iStockPhoto.com/ Is it TwitStock? I think it is. That's strange. / TwitStock. And try out iStock Photo. This is the original source for high-quality stock images, and now it's media and design elements, too. Royalty-free. You pay them a simple fee, and you get to use it forever. Illustrations, vector images, videos. This is cool. For podcasters, music, and sound effects, they've got flash files, 3D renders, and logos coming soon. Get creative. Say what you want to say, and don't, you know, I'm not a designer, but iStock Photo makes my blog look much better. And images as low as a dollar. As low as a dollar. I want you to try it out. You can give 15% off bundles of... See, what you do is you buy credits that let you buy images or music or whatever. If you're buying... And you buy them in bundles. 15% if you buy bundles of 50 credits or more. 15% off if you buy 50 credits or more. At iStockPhoto/TwitStock. They've also got a Microsoft Office plugin, which makes it much easier to embed stuff in your presentations and your documents. And coming soon, the iStock Photo iPhone app. Not sure how you'd use that. I'm going to tweet and have stock images in my tweet. Here's the chick I met last night. She's beautiful. I don't know what I'd use that for. iStockPhoto.com/TwitStock. I did tweet a few images from Food Camp, including the Death Star made out of a watermelon. That was truly awesome, wasn't it? Wasn't that amazing?
If anybody's doing an Ignite at Food Camp or otherwise,
yeah,
there's no better way to fill out your slide deck than iStock Photo.
Oh, you know about it.
Oh, use it all the time.
Oh, for decks. I didn't even think of that.
Slide
you
decks.
Bet.
Fantastic.
You bet. Dan, give me a lower third. You want danshapiro.com or?
Danshapiro.com. That's easy.
Easy to remember. So you missed our conversation on Dig 4, but I'm very excited about that. You missed our conversation. Maybe you have something to say before we move on to the next story about Kevin's scoop. You say you have it on good authority.
Someone that is very closely connected to the project, yes. So whether it'll see the light of day, I don't know when.
You know how we know it's real? Because they made you take it down.
I took it down.
If it were fake, that tweet would still be up there, and you know that. They made you take it down.
Yeah.
So he says it's a Facebook, Dan. It's a Facebook clone from Google called Google Me, a Facebook competitor.
Oh, I haven't heard this yet.
Yeah. Is that a story? Is that juicy?
It's got to be better than Buzz.
Man.
Hopefully.
Well, that's the trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why does everybody mention Buzz when Google says we're going to do something new? First it was Wave, and now it's Buzz.
Yeah, it's not like they're getting any credit for Android. You know, and
look at Android. Yeah.
You know, and one of the things we were talking a lot about, I think, at Foo this weekend was that, you know, this idea of, you know, can things anticipate better your needs? You know, some of the guys were there from Doppler that's now part of Nokia, and we were talking about, you know, how well Doppler did some of that. You know,
Doppler's Nokia now?
I believe so, right? Weren't they purchased by Nokia? I'm not sure about that.
Wow.
Probably. I assume so, because Matt Bidoff is... Maybe I'm completely wrong.
No, I think that sounds right. I think that sounds right.
But you know, what I loved about Doppler was when you got in a city, it just said, these are your friends that are in this city, and wouldn't you, like, just send them all an email message right now? And you know, there's the beginnings of that in the new Froyo, where, you know, I just installed it this weekend, and I saw that... you know, my emails now, there's a little avatar for my friend. If my friend's also my friend on Twitter, it pulls in their avatar. And when I click on it, I can see their latest tweet and I can move over to Twitter and retweet. You know, it's starting to anticipate that I might want to respond in different ways than email. And I don't understand if that's really just a geeky thing with Android that we like that, or if that's the beginning of a way that, you know, if they had something like, what did you say it was called? Google Me?
Yeah.
If they had something like that, you know, maybe that's an area where they could outperform Facebook, is if they just think about the way a lot of the things we were also talking about was that as you start to have more and more friends and family, do you need to have concentric circles of friendship? And that gets really complicated. The work of sort, you can do it on Facebook and you can sort people into different lists and share different things, but that's a lot of work. And
yeah.
Things like phones or the social network you log in every day, it should know enough about just... You respond to people at different times of day, and there's, you know, some people that you always respond to, some people you only respond to during business hours. Can it be intelligent about that and anticipate your needs and help you sort people?
Right.
Yeah, I've been,
and so that I'd love to see more features like that.
I want to see that applied to the inbox. That's what I need. I get too many emails, and I want them sorted by, like, importance, you know, and there's never any sort like
that. Social graph is so powerful. It's so powerful, and nobody's doing anything really... Not nobody, but there's a real opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I know that's what Mark's all about. I know that's what Facebook really wants to do. That's why they have to expose your information, because until they can use your social graph, they can't do all those exciting things that they want to do.
They want to use all that public data,
right,
to expose that. Yeah, like in aggregate.
People think it's about marketing. It ain't about marketing. It's about what they can do with this stuff, and frankly, what they can do for you. Admittedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If somebody can figure out how I can take. The hundreds of people.
Dan, I'm going to have to ask you to talk right into that microphone. Okay. It's a very sensitive microphone, a very insensitive microphone.
If somebody can figure out how to help me take the hundreds of people who I'm loosely connected to, Twitter, Facebook, probably thousands altogether, and get the best of that conversation going on, so I'm not relying on the serendipity of a single person, you know, happening to see this or logging in at the right time, and bring that brilliance to the front, that's what I want. That's what I crave, because there's such great opportunities to connect with interesting people. How do you find the best of the best today?
It's almost like Dig 4.
You need Dig 4. Yeah.
You missed Dig 4. That's exactly what Dig 4 is all about.
We're working on some of that stuff.
Brilliant. Yeah, I think Dan, you'll be very impressed with Dig 4, actually. So Kevin has one more announcement. We should say Kevin Rose is here from Dig.com, Dig 4, and Dig Nation. Dan Shapiro, who is, would you call your investment banker, I guess, Dan? Yeah?
I call myself gainfully unemployed.
Okay, even better. He's not working for a living. Serial entrepreneur. Is that okay?
Fair enough. Absolutely.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Is that fair? So you're going to sit in that throne there. He's in the throne.
The lucky
one. And you can say yes or no to all business ideas that come across the show today.
Oh, my favorite thing.
Fail. Massive fail. Dean Rodney Putney is also here. Rodney. Dean Putney is also here from Carnegie Mellon University. He's a developer at Boing Boing and at Make and Mustard Hamsters.
Yeah.
Is his Twitter. What is Mustard Hamsters?
That's a long story.
Okay, I don't want to hear it. I really don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but that'll get you everywhere.
Mustard Hamsters. That's all you need. Because you can Twitter. Google that. Nobody else has it.
Yeah, I own the domain, and it's Twitter, Gmail, AIM.
Just think about everywhere. A hamster that's slathered with Gulden's yellow mustard.
That's my favorite flavor of hamster.
and then, me too.
Delicious.
And then you'll think of Dean. Tim Shea is also here. He's at Moth on Twitter and at nextnewnetworks.com. And we've been talking about Dig 4 and everything and Dig Nation. And Dig Nation's Revision 3's fifth anniversary party on Friday night. And when is your last Dig Nation?
Yes, that's something the chat room has been going off about. I've been seeing.
They knew
there.
Exactly what you were going to talk about.
Yes.
It's been rumored for a while, but you have never confirmed it.
Right. So basically, you know, I think that Alex and I got together several months ago and just decided that it's been 5 years now. And I think that we're just kind of tired of traveling and we're still going to continue to do the show through the end of the year.
We're gonna that's a long time. Oh, good. All right.
Through December, a bunch more live shows.
Good.
And then after that, we'll do live shows, but only live shows and probably like once a quarter or something like that. And I'm going to do another podcast.
So you're not leaving Dignation. You're just going to go.
We're scaling back. It's not going to be like a weekly show anymore.
All right.
Scaling back quite a bit. But it's a lot of travel. I mean, Alex lives in L.A. I'm in San Francisco.
Right.
It's a weekly show.
Right.
It's just, you know, we wouldn't want to do it over Skype or anything else.
Right.
So,
and if anybody's never been to a live Dignation, it is incredible.
Dude, you have to go. Crowd surfing was awesome.
That was the most fun I've
might
ever
be
had.
My number one favorite
thank you.
Part of Dignation.
It was the most fun I have ever had, I have to say. It was so much fun, and it was such an honor.
The look on your face is
I was happy, wasn't I?
Oh, man.
But also, the other thing that made me happy is I was saying this, like, I'm backstage, and I'm going, this is a freaking podcast, and there's 2,700 people out there screaming crazy. It's like a rock show. And it's a podcast. And so I find it really validating. I mean, that's exciting that people get that excited about a podcast.
It's exciting for all of us. It shows that finally, you know, we can get more viewership on our podcast on the internet than we ever could when we were doing, you know,
cable
television.
Well, and we knew that when we were doing tech TV.
Yeah, totally.
We knew that power was there. And yeah, it's really great. So congratulations on great success with Dignation. And
dude, how about
not
you?
Over.
Remember when we did the first show? Like, you had this
little
tiny
room. You had to sit on the floor, I think.
Sitting on the floor upstairs, and now you have the whole place.
The whole building, 10 employees.
Awesome.
I'm broke. That's okay. It's okay. It's good. So there is other news in the world this week. I guess the biggest story of the week we're kind of ignoring was this little thing, the iPhone 4.
Lucky.
What do you mean? You don't have one?
I didn't get one. I know.
What do you mean? You
need to take my
one.
Apple fanboy card away.
You. You didn't? So have you handled it?
I've touched it. I don't want to touch yours.
Yeah.
I'm still upset.
Anybody here? iPhone 4s?
I don't have one.
Have one. You're an Android?
No, I'm on the 3G.
3G.
I went to the keynote for that. That was fun.
It was fun. Yeah. Dan, you're an iPhone 4.
He's one guy.
See, okay, and I'm liking my Nexus One. I really think the Android operating system is great. In fact, that's what you were about to say, Tim. Is how good, Android is.
I ordered an iPhone 4, and it's coming. And I've all weekend, especially since I upgraded to the Froyo. I've been like, I'm gonna miss. There's a bunch of things I'm gonna miss on here, and I'm not sure I want to give it up.
Isn't that funny? I had the same thought.
There's this bifurcation starting to happen where we're still in love with the hardware and a lot of things about Apple OS, but or iOS or whatever it's called.
iOS 4, yeah.
But, you know, and you're just hoping they're learning from each other. But just how, I mean, I use Google Navigate to get here from, you know, to drive down here from.
Right.
And
turn by turn.
Awesome. And it's free.
It's free.
It's amazing. It's better than most dedicated GPS.
And Google SkyMap, there's all these things that are just really nice on here that, you know, they haven't made available on the Apple Store.
And, you know, there's something you were touching on before, which was the notion of devices responding to and being smarter about us. For better or for worse, these are, this and the iPhone are both tricorders. But that one's off all the time.
Yeah.
There's no continual relay. There's no network. You're not talking to the cloud. This has the capability to be on all the time, which is both delightful and terrifying.
Yeah.
This can know where you are. This can know what you're doing. This can report back for better or for worse.
Well, and that was one of the big stories this week was that in the new iOS 4 terms of service, all 45 pages, if you had the patience to read it on your iPhone, you would two things you'd read. One is that you could opt out of iAds, which is good news. A simple click, I think it was 0.iAds.com, and you'd put a cookie on your browser on your phone or your iPad, and you wouldn't get iAds anymore. But the bigger story was Apple said, we will be tracking you. Now, Android's been doing this for some time, but that it's in the terms of service that your data is being collected, aggregated. It's not being sold to anybody except trusted third parties or something like that.
Trusted.
Trusted. Who trusts them?
Who trusts them? Who's trusted
the trusted third parties like the NSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking a little bit about Facebook was, I don't know if I can talk about this. Facebook had a, I can't probably, at Foo Camp they had an interesting technology that was designed, it was a check-in technology kind of, and I said, I don't want Facebook to know where I am. And somebody said, do you have an Android in your pocket? I said, yeah. Do you have an iPhone in your pocket? Yeah. I said, well, some people know where you are. So it's something we have to live with, that we are. This is a homing device. Daniel Suarez was at Foo Camp, who wrote my two favorite novels, Demon and Freedom TM.
I chatted with him, and I had no idea who's the guy who wrote Demon. I'll be darned.
Oh, he's like he's like my personal hero. And one of the central plot points of Demon is that you got this, you're being tracked everywhere you go. So Daniel actually is very political, and those books are really political, and they're about all of this stuff written in science fiction, in a science fiction way. So what do we think of the iPhone 4? Any opinions, any thoughts? It's beautiful.
I played with some friends, and I got it to do the antenna thing, and that kind of bugged me a little bit. But then I also got my 3GS to do it as well.
Well, that's the point, is all cell phone. Okay, so let's talk about this real quickly. It turns out that if you look at the iPhone, it has, first of all, kind of crazy to build a device that you drop frequently and have it have glass on both sides. So not only glass on the front, glass in the back. They say it's Gorilla Glass. It's stronger than plastic. BS. I fixed it, dropped it, and it shattered. Of course. It's glass. Sorry, dudes. So it's beautiful, though. It's beautiful industrial design with glass on both sides. And then a unibody aluminum, cast aluminum bar, you know, a stripe all the way around it. The left-hand side is, let me see if I can remember this. I think the left-hand side is the 3G antenna. The right-hand side is the Wi-Fi antenna. So there's a reason for these bars. At the bottom, there are two black plastic insulators that insulate those antennas from the U-shaped piece at the bottom. That's the cell phone antenna. If you cup the iPhone, and it's very easy to demonstrate this. I'll show you, Kevin, right now. I've got five bars on my iPhone. All I have to do is cup it in the left hand, and I'm a lefty, so that's exactly how I would hold it.
But do you actually hold it like that when you talk on the phone? Yeah. Would you hold it that tight?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. If you look at the ads, you know, of course, somebody sent an email to Steve Jobs saying, dude, and Steve's response, one
Stop
line.
Holding it like that.
Well, don't do it. So do you see that? It went from five bars to zero bars just that fast. So it's absolutely true. But you're right. You can do it with a Palm Pre. You can do it with a 3. And so I'll see if I can find this article. An RF engineer wrote a story. Did you read the story, Tim, or either of you?
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a story saying, look, I've designed cell towers for AT&T. I know a little bit about RF. Here's the deal. He said, all cell phones have to have an antenna. They're radios. Used to be you'd have the antenna, you'd pull it up. Remember that? Motorola realized nobody was pulling up the antenna on their StarTAC, so they built an internal body antenna. If you pulled it up, you'd use the external, but if you didn't, at least it would have something that have the body antenna. And I remember holding those antennas, and yes, you would absolutely attenuate the signal just like you do with this. So he said all cell phones have the antenna in the body. Here's another thing he said. He said when the FCC tests a cell phone, they're not required to test it with a hand, just with a head. So they test the cell phones. I've seen this. We went to, you remember it with screensavers? We went to the FCC's mm-hmm. testing lab, and they have a clamp with a robot on it, and they have the phone, and it's clamped. There's no hand clamped to a robot head that's filled with goo that simulates human body goo. And then they fire they put a receptor in the goo, and they see where the RF freak characteristics and so forth. He said, since they don't test with a hand, and all the manufacturers know this, where do they put the antenna? Where your hand would be. Because it's not being tested there. And so he said this is going to be a universal problem. Every phone has somewhere you can hold it and attenuate it. However, still bad news, right?
Yeah, it looks bad in the fact that all these videos are leaking out there. And then, you know, it's very easy, like you said, to duplicate
anybody
the problem.
Anybody can do this. Yeah. So
I've got an experiment for a listener to try. You know those cheap little antenna boosting modules that they used to sell for old school
cell
phones.
Right, go in the back, yeah.
So I worked at a startup that built a cell phone, and I talked to the RF engineer, and I said, so these are hokum, right? And he said, no. They do go through a lot of effort to go optimize the radiation all different directions for these cell phones, and when you put one of those stickers on, you're hitting the random number generator. May get something better, may get something worse. So I put it out there. I want somebody to grab a couple of these stickers, these cheap ones that you can find and, you know, they give away for free. Stick them all over the iPhone 4. Let's hear what happens.
See where the best place to put a sticker is.
Exactly.
See, that's part of the problem is you don't even want to put a case on this. I think that the confirmation that Apple knew about this is that Apple does, for the first time, sell a case for the iPhone. Guess what it is? It's a piece of rubber that goes around the antenna. It goes right where you would hold it. Mm-hmm. That's the case. It's a, they call it their bumper case.
Apparently, that pretty much eliminates
and it fixes
issue.
It.
Yeah, it eliminates the antenna issue. So
keeps your fingers away from it.
Yeah.
So would it be cheaper to just get those away for free than do a recall?
They can't. They're not going to do
they're
a
not
recall.
Gonna recall. Right.
So is it the fact that it's just the metal isn't coated with anything? I mean, if they put slight thin plastic coating on the outside, could they not solve this problem?
Yeah, maybe. Or paint it or tape it. I'm not sure. Some people say it's because we're shorting the top antenna and the bottom one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's that or just we're blocking it, but I'm sure you could fix
it. What if you put a paperclip between those two and touch?
Should I try it?
Yeah, let's try it. Let's hack this thing. let's renew
that. That's the dark tipper I know and love. So it wouldn't be such a problem except that AT&T has such a crappy reputation for dropped calls already.
Right.
And this is just going to play right into what people think about the iPhone. Do you want to try it?
Yeah, let's see if we can.
I don't know. I have this clip you can try. Penny would be
better
because it's
copper,
right?
Yeah.
Just a damp finger, probably.
Well, we know. But we want to test it with like.
Does anybody have a penny on them?
No, nobody has a penny?
Or a gold chain.
What's a penny?
Wait, do I want to go on record as handing you my wedding ring for a science experiment?
There you go.
You can use my wedding ring. It's gold.
Hold on,
here
we go.
Gold is
the best.
What if they just didn't charge $30 for the bumper?
What if they just didn't charge $30 for the bumper?
What if they gave it away?
And not even give it away. Just charge a reasonable price. It's the thinnest case you can get, and it still costs as much as the most expensive case you can get. I mean, really, fix the problem. Solve $10 for the thinnest piece of rubber available. I mean, Apple is the best at saying, look, this is pretty. You're going to pay for it no matter what, idiot. Just make it cheaper. If you don't fix the problem, I'll pay $10 or $5. Right. $30 for a rubber strip, and I drop it, and the glass still breaks? They're crazy.
I still don't want that.
Doctor.
This is what I love Owen for.
Yeah, totally. He just comes in, gets pissed off, and walks
out. Actually, Owen, you can use the room mic too. Anytime you want, just come in here.
So yeah, I got it down 2 bars with the gold
with the ring.
Yeah,
not with your finger, just a ring. So it is shorting it then.
Shorting a little bit.
That's what it is. And it does take a while. It takes about a minute or two.
Yeah, it's down to a couple bars there.
Yeah, there you go. Okay,
and that's only because it has to go and say, "Are you there? Are you there? Are you there?" It's talking to the tower and takes it a minute to figure out that nope, not
there's
there.
No tower. Yep. We couldn't demonstrate this at Foo Camp because we didn't have any signal anyway on AT&T. It's part of the fun of Foo. It's interesting. You know, one of the things that surprised me, and somebody was telling me, you've been to previous Foos, Kevin, that it was pretty typical at these events for everybody to have a laptop out as they're listening to the event. Is that the case?
Yeah. I mean, people have had their
laptops.
Well, really?
Yeah. No laptops.
Why is that?
Barely even phones.
There were a couple iPads around, but it was like really everybody's just talking.
I've never been in a conference, and it wasn't like everybody colluded. Just nobody brought in a laptop. I didn't even bring one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know what that heralds, if anything.
Well, there were a couple of talks about they were all about like turning off technology and getting. There was one about like
slow technology.
Slow technology. There was another one about. You know, the new affluence being having leisure time and, you know, all kinds of, there's like a real impulse among, and there, I think it was from a lot of the people that have been there a lot, you know, they were like they were all just, you know, they're all looking for a way to sort of disengage from all the glut of information.
If anything, the people at an event like this, we're talking about Tim O'Reilly. I don't want to go to the
totally
Bill O'Reilly
event.
Food camp. Bill O'Reilly, Tim O'Reilly. I didn't sleep. I literally did not sleep for 3 days, so you'll excuse me. Tim O'Reilly, who is a publisher at O'Reilly Media, and, you know, for years published all these great computer books with the animals on the cover, and they do a number of big, big conferences. Started about 8 years ago, I think, to have these he called them Friends of O'Reilly Camp, where he'd bring about 200, 250 of, you know, not friends of his necessarily, but really interesting thinkers together in a variety of disciplines in a kind of semi-private environment. They all camp. And it's it was the first unconference, I think.
Yeah.
So it was the first conference without planned agenda, without keynotes, without speeches. But everybody who goes was kind of expected to participate either by engaging in an event or by putting one on. And you know, there's people with Van de Graaff generators. We toasted a marshmallow last night with a Van de Graaff generator.
Tesla coil.
Oh, that was a Tesla coil.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, never mind.
More fun.
It was loud.
Sort of like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I thought it was going to explode.
It also smelled odd.
Ozone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty ozone-y.
It was amazing. I learned something that I was not expecting to I was not expecting to be educated in this category, but one of the talks I went to was Linda Stone, former a researcher, used to be with Microsoft Research, and she was doing a study on email apnea. So I have mild sleep apnea, and my doctor scared the tarnation out of me when he showed me some of the numbers.
You stop breathing, right?
Sleep apnea is where you stop breathing. I have a mild case. Severe cases shorten the lifespan by 5 to 10 years or more.
That's not good.
It's tremendous.
So you stop breathing and you don't breathe, and then suddenly with a gasp, you start breathing again. Is that basically
exactly.
it? Okay.
And she discovered that people have the same behavior while they're checking their email. That people will actually
hold their breath.
No way.
Stop their breathing and hold their breath while they're doing important emails. And was finding stress levels going up, cortisol, and so on and so forth. And this is amazing and terrifying at the same time. So she blogs at lindastone.net and found some tools that you can actually put a little clip on your ear and have a little glowing orb in the corner of your screen. And when your blood oxygen level or whatever it is starts to drop, it turns red. Mm. It will remind you to take a breath.
That's pathetic that we actually need to be told to breathe by technology.
She was talking about practicing breathing, and I'm thinking, I've been practicing breathing for 34 years.
And if you weren't breathing, wouldn't you know it? Yeah.
This is the reason these things need to be taped and put online. I would love to watch that.
Well, and that's my contention is it's great to do this some kind of in private because then I guess people feel free to talk. But this is like TED. I mean, these are many of them spoke at TED. This is like an amazing event, and it's a shame. I celebrate the fact that TED decided to put everything online, and that's a huge boon, and I think O'Reilly should probably do the same thing. Here's a picture of the Tesla coil making a s'more, and that was taken with the iPhone, and I have to say the camera on the new iPhone 4 is unbelievable. It is as good as a 5-megapixel point and shoot.
Are you happy with the video?
The Nexus One.
Nexus One is very good.
Well,
I'm not knocking it.
Hardware is great. The software is terrible. It takes tremendous video, but it usually misexposes the still photos. So I come out of my most recent company was Ontela, then PhotoBucket. So
you know a little bit about this.
Way too much with camera phones. Yeah. But
I thought the Nexus One was pretty good, but now the iPhone 4 is dramatically good. I mean, it really is spectacular. That's going to change things. In fact, it's going to be I think it's going to put some pressure on Cisco. Their flip camera. Who would buy a flip camera?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, maybe somebody doesn't have an iPhone, I guess. But but this is as good as a flip, easily.
Indeed.
The video. And shooting that Tesla coil in low light at night, and it looks spectacular. Here's something Google brought. They call it not quite the holodeck.
That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brilliant.
What is that? It's like Google Earth on screens.
Yeah, it was just Google Earth on 8 screens, but just the immersive experience of having it around you.
And a really brilliant controller.
Yeah, a great controller that you can just tilt and sort of pan and move around. And we did some fun stuff with it. You can fly around the moon. You can go around where the moon landing is. And you can actually, if you get good at the controller, you can sit yourself down right on the rover and look around and sort of see the horizon as they saw it. There's another
awesome.
Really cool area. I forget what it's called. The canyon that's right off of LA, off the LA coastline, the underwater canyon that's deeper than Grand Canyon.
Marianas Trench.
The Marianas Trench. You can actually go under the water and sort of fly through the Marianas Trench, which is something no one's ever seen before. And you know, so it's like this godlike power to fly around and zoom. And
then when you're over the Earth, you see all the buildings because people have actually gone and built the buildings in Google Earth, uploaded them, put them in the proper
locations. Yeah, and they've wrapped the photos around the buildings too. So
right.
Like we were going through like Western New York, like I was flying to my apartment to look in my window and like there were some that are so lifelike wrapped. Like I saw like a little, you know, garage shop that was, and it's just the experience of having it on the huge screens around you.
That's really awesome.
Somebody got motion sickness behind me and had to leave.
We actually flew through third world countries, Vietnam, Tokyo, all the buildings are there.
When is the, there needs to be like an MMO for Monopoly, like with Google Earth. Like they were working on that. What happened?
Wait a minute, there was one where you could buy your town and you could buy your street.
Wouldn't that be awesome though? Like you could buy buildings, like those 3D buildings and then own them and that would be amazing.
There was. Right? Well, then there's My Town, which is
My Town.
That's kind of the idea.
Well, isn't Second Life, don't they let you do that very much?
By
but
your
it's not
town?
Based on real world stuff. Oh, it's their own universe, right? Yeah, it'd be awesome if it was like Google Earth based.
The impulse was definitely to play. I mean, once you're I hope they make that available because, you know, as soon as you're on the moon, you want it to actually, everybody wanted to drive the rover around. And, you know, like they're, you know, so it's probably the next step is to just have a massive Mars game or something. We could all go terraform it or something fun like that.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So I think, and actually Robert Scoble and I wanted to do this and we didn't. It was a debate, iPhone versus Android. And I think it would have been an interesting debate, and I was going to debate the Android side. Although Robert pointed out, and I think he was accurate, I could flip easily. Like mm-hmm. like halfway through, he was going to say, "Okay, now switch." And it would. So I think you could make a case for either. But I have to say that almost always when I hear people extol the virtues of the iPhone, it's things like it's just better, it's just easier, it's just prettier. It's a very subjective thing.
I've got this theory. Android kills with features. Yes, so I've got this theory that I have. I think it holds true is that if you're an iPhone user and you have the iPhone and you've used it for more than 6 months, to go to Android seems like a step down from a UI standpoint.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't feel as clean. There's certain buttons that you wouldn't expect. You just get so comfortable with the iPhone, it's hard to make that jump. So when I went and bought the Nexus One, or they sent me one, I started playing with it. I'm like, oh, I could make the jump because there are some features and some apps that they don't have on the iPhone.
You can dictate anywhere.
But
I just
it didn't feel as clean and cool. And you know what I mean?
So I think next month's going to be a very telling time. First of all, at the announcement for Droid X this week on Wednesday, Ruben and Andy Ruben of Android said, we are now installing 160,000 handsets a day. That's 5 million a month. Android handsets. So that, I mean, when Apple goes, hey, we sold 3 million iPads in the last 3 months, they're selling 5 million a month of Android. But also, we're going to see, and by the way, 58,000 apps. At that point, I don't think whether you have 58,000 or a quarter of a million, I think you're close enough, right? Does it matter?
There is one big difference, though, which is that the big businesses are investing in fantastic experiences on the iPhone, and they're not doing that yet on Android.
Right. You definitely kind of feel like you're in exile on Android. Like,
still?
Yeah. You get apps like, it feels like when it mattered to buy software for the Mac, and you know, when before everything was on the
web. It did, right. We're used to that as Mac users.
Yeah, you know, we'd be like, oh man, you know, 6 months to get the new game, and it feels like that with apps on the Android. So.
Right.
That's a great way to put it.
On the iPhone, you get the Pizza Hut app and the Taco Time and this and that. On Android, you get a metal detector. Somebody actually went and hacked up the sensor so that you can use it as a real metal detector.
What do you want, Dan? Pizza Time or a metal detector?
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
So it all depends on what matters to you.
I think you're right. I mean, Mint's on there now. Every program that I really needed on the iPhone is, in fact, they have a much better the Audible app on Android is killer, and there is no Audible app on the iPhone. And people say, well, you don't need an app. That's the point on the iPhone. It just plays them. Yeah. But on Android, you've got a list of every book you ever bought on Audible. It gives you stats. They have badges, Foursquare-style badges for listeners, listening ship. I think that, I don't know. And I think if I'm a developer, I would, don't you think you'd be scared to develop for iPhone these days and much more comfortable developing for Android, especially when you know there's 5 million handsets a month being sold?
It seems like a short-term problem, that the App Store thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So Droid X is the next Motorola Droid. Looks pretty sweet. Looks like the Evo a little bit. 4.3-inch screen, 8-megapixel camera. But I'm putting my money on Samsung's Galaxy X, which comes out, no one knows, but we think next month. Have you seen it? Did you see the CTIA?
I did. Samsung's in an interesting position because they have this new operating system, Bada, which is their mid-range or cheap smartphone.
Their feature phone.
High-end feature.
Yeah.
And they are paying developers scandalous amounts of money to go bring brilliant experiences to Bada.
Oh, that's interesting.
And from what I've heard of people who've actually lived with the phone, they're wonderful phones.
Who will that be on?
They have the iPhone sensuousness. Right. I've heard. Hmm. I haven't got to play with one yet. So that's going to be really interesting when suddenly you have feature phone pricing and bill of materials and design and great applications outside of the smartphone ecosystem.
Samsung's one of the few companies that really could do that. I mean, they have the clout to do that. They make the AMOLED screens that are in the Galaxy S 4-inch, which is not as big as Evo and Droid X, but bigger than the iPhone. I think just about right, actually.
Yeah, when is too big? Because I have 4.3
is big.
Too much larger than this. The Evo looks a little uncomfortable.
I feel like if your phone needs a kickstand, it's probably too big.
That's one of the things Evo has.
Yeah. You have to reinforce the lining of your pocket.
Burns a hole in your pocket. Well, here's the good news. If you like smartphones, and I think anybody who listens to this show likes having a computer in their pocket, this is a great time. I mean, you're really...
Great time.
So you're still on the 3GS?
I know. I'm going 4 soon.
How retro.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't it look kind of retro?
Cool.
It kind of looks a little retro compared to the 4.
I still want to buy the original iPhone, like sealed in box and save it. That'll be worth something someday.
I have like the original iPod.
Do you?
Yeah.
First gen?
I have a Newton. It still works,
I have a Newton, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know why it works? Because you put real batteries in an alkaline battery.
And I haven't used it much.
That's amazing.
Oh, by the way. How's the handwriting recognition?
First generation not iPhone. Oh, first nice. Generation iPod. That's the little museum behind it.
I forgot what the original iPhone felt like.
Look how big the original iPod was. That was 5 gigabytes. That thing's like a deck of cards.
And that's got the actual hard drive inside of it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, well, you can almost feel it spin up when you just hold it.
You could feel it spin up. Remember that? You feel the little... That's amazing. I forgot it was FireWire.
Yeah. There's the port right on it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was working
You could use it. You could use a you could use a FireWire cable.
That's awesome. Working at Microsoft when this came out, and everybody was clustered around one of the first ones that somebody brought in, and the thing that got everybody just their heads spinning around was they put a speaker in here just so that they could make a click when you turned the wheel.
That's right.
That was what blew everybody's mind, and everybody around the table said, "We would never do that here."
No. Cuz bad engineering. It's crazy. And yet, it's great UI. It's brilliant UI.
Indeed.
All right, we're passing around the hardware while we do that. Dan Shapiro is here, serial venture, serial entrepreneur. Do you want to talk about your latest project? What are you working on now?
I knew what it was yet.
So you're right just now, in between?
I'm toying. I'm playing with some things in e-commerce, some things in online education, some things in mobile app stores, and we'll see what...
What do you think? Okay, so you have your choice. So what category do you think is the next big thing?
Oh, boy.
Apps?
No, apps were the last big
location
thing.
Mobile, those are all old.
Those are all pretty
you need to be online. You need to be the next thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things that I'm really excited about right now is the problem of e-commerce is 10 years old, and I feel like we are where search was before Google looked at it. 10 years ago, Amazon looked at the problem of how to buy things, commodities, you know, a laptop, a DVD player, etc., and said, we're going to go do this, and they built this idea of search. So you're looking for something, and you go search for it. And then they added to it the idea of serendipity. So I'm looking at this thing, and they say, what about that thing? So there's been a renaissance around serendipity. You've got Woot, and you've got Groupon, and you've got these people at flash sales saying, here's something you might not have known you needed, but it's entertainment shopping. But nobody's gone back to that original concept of, I have a problem. I've got $200, $300, $400 in my pocket to go solve that problem. Help me solve that. So I've been spending some time thinking about what does the solution to that look like and how do you help people shopping to solve problems? So I know what I need. How do I get there?
Kind of like Katarina's hunch.
Yes, hunch a little
something
bit.
Something like that. I like to think of
hunch
it as
for commerce.
Kayak for commerce.
Oh, that's interesting. So you, okay. Maybe you give them, it's a recommendation engine, you give them some parameters and it gives you some ideas, something like that.
That'd be an interesting way to go about it. So I'm prototyping a few different approaches right now. I'm simultaneously being secretive and don't know the right answer. So I'm playing with
you
a few.
You sound like you know what you're doing.
To see what feels right and what works best.
We're also, Kevin Rose is also here. Always a pleasure to have Kevin, one of the original Twitters.
Episode number one.
Episode one. Actually, episode zero, too, for that matter. Somebody said, "Oh, I'm disappointed. He got Kevin on, and he didn't get all the rest of the guys on. We could do a reunion.
We should do that.
Yeah, it'd be really fun to do that. Maybe have a you know what? I could get a barbecue out there. I'll have a cookout.
Yes,
wouldn't that be fun?
That's awesome.
Be friends of Leo. There are five of them. It's a small group, but a nice bunch of people. We'll do that. We'll definitely do that. Also, Tim Shea is here from NextNewNetworks.com, and Dean Putney from BoingBoing.net. He's a developer at BoingBoing. We'll be back with more in just a bit, but I want to tell you a little bit about Audible.com and a very special deal from Audible right now. They call it the Big Summer Listen. If you go to audible.com/summer, you can get a book absolutely free. And when I say free, I mean no strings. You don't even need to give them a credit card. You don't even need to, you know, nothing. Just take a book. They only do this once a year, so this is the time to do this. audible.com/summer. You're going to choose from one of... Well, it looks like they said 8 books, but now it looks like 12, 16. There's quite a... It's an unlimited number. It's a huge number. It's a free audiobook giveaway, but you cannot do this if you're an Audible member. So Audible members, don't go there. And if you want to become an Audible member, then I can get you 3 books free. How about that? Look at all these books. This is great. The Lost Fleet. Master and Commander. That's a great way. Boy, Audible's smart. They know if you read Master and Commander, they're going to get you for 21 more books for the whole series of Patrick O'Brien books. That's smart. First one's free. It's one of my favorite things. I Am Legend, The Good Earth, Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, The Next 100 Years by George Freeman, a really good book. Jane Austen's Persuasion. So there's a lot of books in here. The Time Traveler's Wife, I just read this. I loved it. Life of Pi, maybe the best audiobook ever made. The Road, another great one. Outlander, wow. Stiff by Mary Roach, the story of
death. Oh, that's a brilliant
Isn't that
book.
A great book?
And Boink, its companion.
Stiff and Boink.
Oh, brilliant.
I just finished Boink. It's all about science, the science and sex.
Is Damon on there?
Damon is not, but you know, okay, so here's the deal. This is how we're going to do this. If you go to audible.com/twit2, you can sign up for the Audible Platinum account. That's two free books. And absolutely get Daniel Suarez's two books. They're really one book written in two different volumes. There's Damon, D-A-E-M-O-N, and then Freedom TM. So you get those free, but don't do that until after you've gone to audible.com/summer and picked a book there, like Stiff, David Sedaris Live at Carnegie Hall, Little B, tons of books here. So pick a book, get it free for the summer audiobook giveaway. That's audible.com/summer. Then go to audible.com/twit2, and you have scammed them out of three books, my friend, at no cost to you. Three free books. Go to audible.com/twit2 and take advantage of the summer of reading, because they do this once a year, and it's really great. And it's only good through, I think, July 2nd. So if you're listening to this after July 2nd, whoops, I should have warned you. There's nothing there. Audible.com/summer, then audible.com/twit2. And as always, we thank Audible for their support. And by the way, if you do have a Nexus One, the Audible app on here is just great. It gives you everything you've ever listened to. Because once you buy a book on Audible, it's yours for life. You can take it off you don't have to leave it on the device. So every book I've ever bought, I mean, there's 300, 400 books here, because I've been an Audible member since.
Is there an Audible iPhone app too?
No. I wish they would do this for the iPhone, because it's really fantastic. You don't need it for the iPhone, because the iPhone, you just listen in the on the iPod.
Right.
But I like this better, because you could bookmark. You can you get these, like I said, badges. They've got, you give you stats. Like, here's the stats. It's like, I'm a rank beginner. No, Audible master, Audible newbie, novice, pro, scholar. Then they show you how many hours you spent. Their badges. See, like, Foursquare style badges on there. This is in beta right now, but it's really sweet. Listen, amount of time you spent listening. Today, monthly, daily. Oh, here's a graph. This is for nerds who love stats. It's just very smart.
Nice.
Audible.com. We thank them so much for their support. This week in tech. So, what else? I haven't really been paying attention to the tech news. Any other big stories that affected you, Kevin Rose? I think the big story is Dig 4. I'm really excited about this.
Well, thank you.
You only have about, like, it's done, actually. It's just, we just turned it off. It's 4:30.
Is it done?
It's 4:30.
Yeah, it's 4:30.
Man, I hope you got a chance to play with it. And how soon before you think it'll come out?
We're going to start inviting people probably tomorrow or the next day at about 10,000 or so a day.
Oh, good.
Until launch.
So go there anyway. Go to new.dig.com and just sign up.
Yeah, you can sign up and we'll put you on the list, and then we'll send you an invite very soon.
I think this is going to transform Dig, and I'm going to use it more. In fact, I'm thinking I'm going to start using it to bookmark stories for our shows. We wanted to do that ages ago, but I think this is the time to do it.
Submitting content is much easier now. It's like two clicks.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I like that. Let's see. iPhone we talked about. We talked about Android. Dan, anything that's on your mind these days? Any big tech stories you thought were interesting? We've just been, like, locked up in a room for the last 3 days. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, totally off the grid. It was kind of a fun
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I was at NewsFoo. Stephen Levy, who writes for Wire, but was at Newsweek, and wrote Hackers. By the way, I got the 25th edition of Hackers, and I got Stephen to sign it. I'm so happy.
That's awesome. That was a good
idea. Yeah. Smart, huh?
Yeah.
He's just great. But we were talking about this Rolling Stone article. I thought this was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wasn't paying attention because of the Apple thing and then going off to a food camp. Rolling Stone, not known for its political reporting, sent a reporter out to interview General McChrystal and got him on the record saying all sorts of things. He got fired on Wednesday.
And I don't think it's true that they're not known for their political reporting. I think they do that
once in a while. You're right. And when they do, it's great.
Like, Gonzo reporting was born there.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Actually, it's not fair to them, is it? Yeah, they had Hunter S. Thompson. So that was a topic of conversation this week. What's on anything on your mind, Tim? Anything? Tell me about next new networks. What's the latest for you guys?
We had like a big week where we put up a new site called nextnewbillion.com. It's really just for our fans and sort of changed the end card on all our videos. We're passing a billion views. I think like
you passed week. A billion views. Holy cow! Yeah, that's like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, it's us and Lady Gaga and a couple other people. So it's pretty cool. It took us about 8,000 videos to do it. So, the backwards way we've been thinking about that is if your average video on the web gets 100 lifetime views, the average video we've put out has gotten about 125,000. And, people haven't heard of Next New Networks so much, but, we're the people that did the Obama Girl videos, and we've spun a lot of political comedy off of that. And, we've got all these other channels like Indie Mogul and Threadbanger, and now we're starting to move into things like food with Hunger Nation and a fitness network called Click Fitness. So that whole way of just locking up with independent producers and just helping them succeed, is really starting to pay off. So Next New Billion, if you don't know what we do, you can just go there and there's like a playlist of about 80 videos with over 100,000 views that sort of give a sort of show. You might have seen one of them over the years.
I was talking to Dina Kaplan at Food Camp of Blip.tv.
Yeah, she's great.
She was saying, and maybe you've seen this at Revision 3 as well, that advertising support for video IP video networks is jumped at the end of the last year and this year. That's been our experience as well.
It's been pretty crazy.
This is very good news,
yeah,
right?
I mean, we've all kind of known each other in the industry forever, and
we've all been struggling for years trying to put this together.
We've all shared info along the way, and the hard thing with online video is that we're not actually competing with each other. It's not like someone goes, I really want to advertise on web video, but I just can't decide between Revision 3 and
I can't wait to that day.
We're trying to compete with every single website and piece of content on the web.
Right.
And the same RFPs that get sent to us get sent to Facebook and Google. So it's. Every time one of us goes out there, and I talk to Dina a lot about this, and I've talked to Kevin's colleagues at Revision 3 a lot about this, is that we're not only trying to sell ourselves, but we're trying to sell the whole medium every time we go out the door. And it's been 3 years of really hard work, getting it up to a level where we're all, if not profitable, I think pretty close to profitable across the board, which is great.
It's pretty crazy how the advertisers have changed too. Like initially it was like, tech brands, things like that, and now like, we just did Ford sponsored Ignition last time.
Wow. Right.
And it's like, that's crazy.
Yeah, Ford's one of our big sponsors too. And I think that's really exciting.
I mean, this is mainstream. I mean, when you see a billion views, that's 50 million views a month. And we've had, five renewals with Warner Brothers. We've done it's real brands that are coming in, Samsung, American Express, they're starting to realize that audiences are moving here. And all we need is, I did some conference the other day, and all we need is just a small percentage of
the
advertising come over, and we'd all be able to
save $8 billion or something.
So we're seeing some really interesting things at PhotoBucket, and we've been user-generated content forever. A little bit of video, mostly pictures, and about 160 billion media views a month.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing is the interest is coming up exactly like you're saying. The other thing that's really fun is we're starting to see the interest on the mobile platforms as well.
Yeah.
And people saying, how can we connect with people wherever they are?
And that's where you have an advantage, right? Because, I was watching this World Cup on my iPhone, though, on Mobi TV. I have to confess, I was in a very boring session. it was everything I could do.
Is that why the Wi-Fi network was so
slow? Yeah, exactly. We were all watching the...
We're starting to see a lot of viewership come from the YouTube mobile app, there's not a lot of space in the YouTube mobile app, but if you're one of the featured videos on YouTube that day, one of those first four that are on the front page, that means you're also on the mobile app, and we'll see a huge percentage of our traffic for the day come from there. So people are using it. We're not exactly sure who or how yet, but I think that we've all been waiting for like 10 years. We've always said people are going to start watching a lot of video on mobile phones, and I think it's finally starting to happen.
Yeah. A couple other big stories that I actually did neglect to mention. One is there's a price war between the Kindle and the Nook. Big drop in the price of the Amazon Kindle. Down to what is it,
$159?
$50 drop. Yeah. And the Nook, if you want Wi-Fi only, is $149 now.
I thought it was free with a cup of coffee.
Practically. Is that in response to the iPad, or is it in response to each other? Are they fighting?
The worst of all worlds. I mean, they're just getting...
jumped on.
On both sides.
Yeah, so now you can spend, you know, a lot more money and get the iPad, which is the sexy version of the Kindle.
Right.
And you've got them competing with each other. And it turned out, I will never understand why Amazon did not decide to be the bookstore instead of trying to be the book. I mean, it's all well and good.
Well, I was told, here's the deal. I was told there's two divisions. There's a hardware division, and there's the book division,
yes.
The software division. And that's why I was surprised we saw such a great software app on the iPad, because I thought, well, that's going to kill the Kindle.
Yeah.
It's different divisions.
Yeah.
And actually, that's smart of Jeff Bezos. They're fighting each other. That's fine.
Eat your own young.
Eat your babies, they say at Microsoft.
You know, there's an angle to a story that I just heard about that was really exciting to me, which was I've heard about the Kinect, you know, formerly Project Natal, this new controller, and I didn't really get what all the fuss was about. So this is a webcam. This is some new algorithms for it. And finally, I got somebody at Microsoft in the research group to explain to me what all the fuss was about, and it's fascinating. Am I the only person who doesn't know how this works, or
is it about the locking it on the skeleton thing?
Well, it's how they do it.
Yeah.
So it turns out
there's Kinect is a bar that you attach to the Xbox 360. It'll be out in November at $150. It's got an RGB camera in it, a depth sensor in it, and it looks like a microphone array, and it's three sensors.
It was the depth sensor that's the magic. Mm-hmm. So the trick is, how do you find depth? Well, you put two cameras and you see how deep it is. Well, how do you know what the same thing is? Because if I know that's your head, then I can figure out how far away, but is it your head? Is it the book behind it? And the magic is that the second camera, it's two cameras. The second one is an infrared camera, and they're projecting a grid onto you in infrared.
Wow.
And the infrared camera is scanning the grid, so it can actually determine how far you are. It can triangulate and find. So that's how they know where you are in the room, and the rest of it's all just software. They also have an array mic, which will help them do voice recognition at some point.
Right,
so.
It's cool. You jump in, and it knows it's you. It puts your avatar up. If one person's playing a single-player game and you jump in, then it becomes a two-player game automatically. And playing it is actually surprisingly fun. I was very skeptical. I saw that. I like everybody else, saw Felicia Day jumping around like a goon last year, and I thought, this is stupid. I hate the Wii. A Wii never did anything for me, and this is not the Wii. This is really, really fun.
Did you get to play?
Yeah, I did, and I liked it. At E3, we went to E3, and I really liked it. I thought it was a lot of fun. Another big story.
How about the domains?
XXX. Yeah. Sexy.
Oh, yes.
And you know what's funny? I love it. Anything that both porn producers and the religious right hate, it's got to be different. It's got to be interesting. The porn producers don't like it because I guess they're afraid of being censored, like being a ghetto on the web. Of course, the right doesn't like it because it tells people exactly where to go
They all have to buy their domains again, so it's going to be very expensive for them.
Yeah, if you're Playboy.com, are they going to force them to go to Playboy.XXX? No.
No.
No, they just have to. Now they have to buy Playboy.XXX, but more to the point, they have to go buy all the misspellings. And for Playboy.com, that might not be such a big deal, but, you know, I built this porn site in my basement.com.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Or so I hear.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
So I've got an interesting little anecdote.
Fire away, Dean Putney.
Last night, the iPhone 4 was jailbroken.
That's right. Sorek was at the Pufu camp, and he was very excited.
Yeah, this was at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there with Chris Poole and Sorek, and he's, you know, working on this and did the jailbreak of the second iPhone 4.
While at Pufu camp. Actually, right others there. Were doing it, but he was part of the...
17-year-old did it, and then he said...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so Cydia, and by the way, it's pronounced Cydia, I found out, which I never knew, and I thought it was Cydia. Cydia is now on the iPhone 4.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
That's fast.
One person,
that is fast.
Too, and it's just that.
And a 17-year-old, I love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Sorek,
Cydia is
right?
One
Sorek
person.
Is, Cydia is Sorek.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just one guy.
Just him.
Yeah.
He demonstrated something that blew my mind. He showed a way to take running code on an iPhone and inject your code into it.
Yeah.
So you could, for instance, like if you know when you press and hold an icon on the iPhone, they jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. You can have it instead go transparent and jiggle. Or you could take over a program, a running program, and inject your own code into it. I don't know what the...
Yeah, that was fascinating because he said that he could actually overwrite any C function on the
right.
iPad. And or the iPhone, and so he was connecting to it over Wi-Fi, and I guess they had written a protocol that used very simple object transfers, and it was all sort of like similar to JavaScript or JavaScript-based.
Right.
And so it was like he was just changing things on the fly, and it was immediate.
I asked him about it. He said it's part of it is because Apple uses such consistent naming of its variables. It's very easy to figure out what's going on, what it's doing. Simple thing. F Forward, Kevin, tell me about that. That's a new show you guys are doing on Revision 3?
Yeah, I that's going to be my next thing after Dignation. It's just, I'm just calling it Forward. But
there's two Fs.
Yeah, I couldn't get forward.com or fwd.com or any of the other things that I wanted. So it's just fforward.com, and that will be coming soon. So it's only a newsletter sign-up form right now.
But what is it?
It's going to be just kind of a new show that I've been wanting to do for a while, like we were talking about before. Something that it's going to be a combination of kind of geek culture type show. So not really tech news, but more kind of just having these different entrepreneurs that I meet all the time in the Bay Area come on and talk about what they're doing, demo products. I'll have people come on and talk about, you know, geek fashion, or I know this guy that's really passionate about cooking the best steak. Have him come on and explain how to make the best steak. I mean, just a little bit of everything. So,
is it a Revision 3 show, or are you just going to
do
it yourself?
Yeah, it's going to be a Rev 3 show.
Cool.
And so, yeah, it's going to be fun.
Revision 3 also added Callie Lewis and Geek Brief, which is very exciting. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, she's the greatest, so that's good. Well, we're done. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Kevin Rose from Dig.com.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations on the new Dig 4. I'll look with great interest to see it when it launches in the next few weeks.
Sweet.
And for those of you who are watching live, you get a chance to play with it before anybody and break it. But no, I think it held up pretty well.
It held up.
Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah, a very good sign.
Yeah. So glad also to have entrepreneur Dan Shapiro here. It was really nice for you. Popped in at the last minute. I'm so glad you did.
Thank you.
On your way home from the camp.
250 new followers at Dan Shapiro.
You're kidding. We didn't even mention it yet. At Dan Shapiro.
I was pretty impressed.
At Dan Shapiro. Let's see if we can get him to 500 new followers. At Dan Shapiro. I'll put it right up here. And of course, don't forget pickle sauce hamster. No, wait a minute. I'm sure it's something like that. Mustard.
That's disgusting.
Dean Putney is mustard hamster.
Mustard hamster.
Odocta.
Yeah, plural.
And Odocta. I'm not going to forget you. Don't worry, Odocta.
Like
don't forget.
I'm going to stick my face next to you.
I'm not going
to
forget.
Look at how much better I look.
We looked at like that Rosie Greer movie where he had two heads.
Yeah, that was scary. Actually, especially since one is darker than the other.
Well, I think it was. Well, who was the other guy, the other head with Rosie Greer? Do you remember that movie?
Practically, I think I missed this one.
I think maybe I'm having a bad nightmare. I don't know.
That's right.
You can't have my iPhone 4. I love you, Odocta.
I'll give it back.
Oh, Odocta, it's all smashed. Wait a minute. Now, I know a guy up in Roanoke Park will fix that for $85, dude.
$85?
Yeah.
That's cheap.
He'll just replace the glass.
Help me out.
Yeah, deal. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Hamstered mustard. Mustard hamster. Dean Putney, thank you for coming by. Developer Boing Boing. Follow him at Mustard Hamster. And despite the fact that they misspelled it on Hamster Dance, there is no P in hamster.
That's right. It's actually mustard hamsters, plural. But
there's more than one.
There's more than one.
That's scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mustard hamsters.
Yeah. Who has the hamster?
They're out there.
I'm scared.
It could be a soulmate. It could be is it a lady that has the other one or no?
Ooh, I can't
tell you
that. I'm sorry.
Cannot tell you. Tim Shea is celebrating 1 billion views now on nextnewnetworks.com.
Congrats on that.
That's
huge.
Really good.
That's fantastic.
Really exciting. Thank you for coming by, Tim. I'm Leo Laporte. We do this show every Sunday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern. That's 2200 UTC at live.twit.tv. You can watch us live, listen live. Join the chat room, or if you don't have time at that time, of course, you can always download audio and video of the show. Just go to twit.tv for more. Coming up, East Meets West with the great Tom Merritt. In fact, Tom is now part of the network. For those of you who didn't know, Tom has left CNET and Buzz Out Loud and now does Tech News Today every Monday through Friday at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific time. At live.twit.tv, and you can subscribe to that as well if you go to twit.tv/TNT. It's a really great way to get your daily tech news fix. Becky Worley's on that on a regular basis. I think Gina Trapani's going to join him next week. Sarah Lane, a lot of great people. That is a great show. Tech News Today, twit.tv/TNT. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Another
this
Twit is in the can.